Last Sunday, driving down 183 on my way to church in a driving rain, trying to keep my eye on the road and avoid hitting people, I was startled to see a flash in my rearview mirror and in my side mirror, and a silver Mini Cooper come flashing by, clearly 15 to 20 miles an hour, faster than the dry speed limit, driving in and out as though his fancy little gray car was the console of the old Pole Position video game. And of course, the first words out of my mouth were, "Raca, thou fool," or the Central Texas gringo equivalent thereof. Where does the anger come from? Jesus tells us, "Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus was dealing with these particular group of Pharisees and scribes who had been in controversy with him, who seemed to think that all it took to get into heaven was to be perfect in ritual observance in the law. Righteousness is equal to getting it right. And Jesus is concerned to go beyond checking off the boxes. It's obvious. He says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you," he wants to balance that whole process. For him, holiness is giving God what is God's due from the heart. Earlier this week, in the Gospel for Wednesday, Jesus told us, "From within the man, from his heart, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." It is what comes out of our hearts that produces sin. And conversely, it is what comes out of our hearts, if it is right, that can produce righteousness. You have heard it said, "You shall not kill. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to the judgment." Anger, that expression of selfishness, the rage when we don't get our way, that anger that would murder if we could. The anger that says, "I want to throttle the living daylights out of someone." Anger, hatred, contempt, festering, feverish dislike that poisons a relationship and makes us vulnerable to lust and to greed and to deceit, extreme selfishness. It's that need that puts our own needs first. What's good for me? What about my happiness, not about my family or the people around me? We hear a lot about self-care, and you need to take care of yourself. Rest, food, exercise, a little bit of space. But we've turned that into a cult of my needs first and everything else takes second or third place. It's a form of idolatry that we have built up in our society. You just have to watch the TV and the commercials to see who we worship. And these poison relationships, they collapse. We begin to break faith in these relationships, and it leads to emotional infidelity. You have heard it said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," but I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. We have so redefined marriage, so made it about our own personal needs and happiness, that we no longer grasp that the commitments we make, the promises we give, are bigger than our own personal happiness and involve other people in our relationship with God. And it percolates outward into our society. Infidelity is a standard that's applauded in our media. You just have to watch the average rom-com or the average murder mystery. Infidelity, broken oath, deceit. We are a society, a culture that no longer trusts each other in our personal relationships, in our economic relationships, and in our political relationships. We no longer even know what it means to trust each other. Our first instinct is to tweet about it and get the person in trouble, right? Our second instinct is to hire a lawyer and sue. Jesus tells us in the gospel today, if you bring your gift to the altar and therefore recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come offer your gift. We're getting close to Lent now. It's coming, a time of self-examination. And I would suggest that don't wait until Ash Wednesday, 10 days out, to figure out what you're going to do for Lent. Start thinking now. Am I angry with my brother? Does my right eye cause me to sin? Does my yes really mean yes when I give it? I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Praise be Jesus Christ.